Hi there, Pilates people. It's Chantel, and I'm back to get down to some more serious myth busting. I know that sounds very silly, but ultimately that is what we're doing, so that's what I'm going to say. Let me start with this. It's easy to get stuck in believing all the stories and buying into all the fears about what's going to make us successful as people, entrepreneurs, and teachers. Sometimes all we need is a different perspective to see that just maybe we don't need to take the same approach as everyone else. Because honestly, when we look at that, we often see what everyone else is doing is not really working. In any case, you're on a great trajectory to start to change that and work smarter rather than harder. There is a big difference, a big difference. And take it from someone who's owned two studios and been in the belly of the beast, stressing out, working into the wee hours of the night, and still not getting the results that were going to make things tip. Until I was, because I changed my perspective. So let's get down to business. Our number two myth, the second most important one to debunk. If I only had more students, that would make all the difference. Or another iteration of it that is, I need to work really, really, really hard to attract new students. Underlying thought, because I know many of them are going to eventually leave. Notice your heart rate increase, stomach clench a little. That's what happens to me too. Urgency, striving, effort, panic. Then the long list of, oh shit, I have to get on social media and do more of Instagram. Create an account on that new thing. What is it? Update my website. I should probably start a blog, and I've got to hire someone to optimize my website and help me create videos. On and on and on. It is utter madness, and many of us have been there, if not are there currently. So let me just bust this for you right now. Getting more students is not the key to being more successful. Keeping the ones you have and turning them into lifelong practitioners who are engaged in the process of learning and growing is. Of course, we need students to do our work, and we need a certain amount of students to pay the bills. That's an irrevocable truth. And what's also true is that we accept that we will also always lose a portion of our students to attrition. The current market research shows that on average, gyms, racket clubs, and other fitness facilities experience a 30 to 50% loss of members on a yearly basis. That is freaking huge. In some of my research, actually, both online and with studio owners I know in the yoga and Pilates community, that number has been as high as 80% of a loss of students annually. And that is a heck of a lot of work to keep refilling an 80% gap. Yes, obviously it is true that we have to have enough students to begin with, of course, and that takes time. It takes patience, consistency in our marketing and messaging, a great location, and a referral network. And yes, you have to bust your ass for that. We could talk about that, but this is not that video. What we believe will serve you even more is teaching you how to keep the students you have and do get. That's what is going to sustain you. That's what's going to make sure you are happy and able to keep loving what you do, which is teaching. We all know what happens when we're spread too thin. We have no time to practice, little time to educate ourselves the way we'd like, and we start feeling the creeping sense of fatigue and burnout. We want to help you avoid that moment as much as possible. So what's the answer? This is a two-part answer. First, we need to understand our students as learners. We're going to piggyback on what Anne shared with you in the first myth video and go a little deeper into competency. Competency is just another way of talking about what's sticking and what's not sticking in terms of a student's learning and their ability to take that information with them outside of the studio. We've got to get our hands dirty for a moment, though, and go down a very short rabbit hole. It's the conscious competence learning matrix rabbit hole. Now, the origins of the conscious competence learning matrix, or what I'll call the CCLM from here on out, are difficult to pin down. One of the first books in which it was clearly defined was in The Empathetic Communicator by William Howell, and we're going to be quoting some of that work here. But what's really cool about the CCLM is that it can be applied to any learning domain. Even the Pilates Method Alliance adopted this model to help teachers understand how to, quote, perceive measurable outcomes in skill acquisition. Unfortunately, we are not doing an awesome job at applying the CCLM in our teaching, mostly because we just don't understand it. So let's figure this out, shall we? a little more about the CCLM and how it applies to the Pilates paradigm. Stage 1, unconscious incompetence, sometimes also known as ignorance is bliss. At this stage, the student is completely unaware of his deficiency. At the lowest level of performance, he is not only doing badly, but perceiving failure as success, and that's from Howell's book. This is frequently observed in the Pilates studio when students think, the more weight, the better. For example, a new student may come into the studio and begin footwork on the reformer. They have no awareness of the concept of neutral spine and feel that footwork is too easy. This student puts on more weight and immediately presses his back into the reformer carriage and rolls out on his ankles. The student is expressing ignorance. They just don't know what they don't know. He doesn't understand that form takes precedence over heavy weight in most Pilates teaching. Stage 2, conscious incompetence, the aha moment. In stage 2, the student realizes that something she's doing is wrong and she may get an aha moment that something is amiss. Her blissful ignorance is shattered and she understands that there is something to learn, to change, and to practice. She becomes conscious of being incompetent. Improvement comes from trial and error, and that's from Howell. A student at stage 2 is learning by trial and error. Some of that is based on what she perceives as right or wrong, a bias that has either come from something she's read or seen in the past or from you as the teacher, from external feedback. This is a wonderful place to be, and we tend to move into this fairly easily, but what comes next is the real conundrum. Stage 3, conscious competence or understanding. Conscious competence is the level of understanding that requires analytical thought. Conscious competence is when a skill is performed correctly at will. The student is aware of her level and what's missing to improve. Students are committed to further learning at this stage, and this is really where the gold is. Students transition from stage 2 to 3 by using analytical skills and purposefully choosing strategies to improve. This is in contrast to the trial and error approach in stage 2. The limitation, however, within stage 3 is that the student is so conscious and analytical about her movements that she might not be able to move seamlessly or even easily. It would be like seeing all the trees and not the forest, or seeing the dots but not being able to connect them. And this is where we start to veer off course. As Pilates teachers, we tend to be very good at helping students get to stage 3, but not much further. We'll see why in a moment, but one more stage we're going to dig into. Stage 4, unconscious competence, ownership, and self-efficacy. In unconscious competence, a student is now able to move correctly, unconsciously. The teacher doesn't need to remind her to perform all the minute details. Rather, she can transition easily from one exercise to the next while maintaining proper form. Within stage 4, a student is able to move spontaneously and the skills become more instinctual. She's able to trust her body and able to focus outward while knowing that her body will perform accurately. What the CCLM helps us see is where we get stuck and helps us understand both why and how to get unstuck. And here's why we get stuck. What most of us do is overteach. We overcorrect, we say too much, and we hold our students hostage to stage 3. You see, the more we are filling up our students with what to do, how to move, how to correct, the less ownership they have of their practice, the less spontaneous and intuitive the movement can be. In fact, they begin to believe in some way that Pilates might be something that is done to them by you, the teacher, rather than something that is theirs to own and explore within their own body. In order to progress students into stage 3, conscious competence, where they become invested in the process of learning, and then to stage 4, unconscious competence, where they become autonomous and self-reliant, we can incorporate some very simple and high-yield tools. First, talk less. At stage 3, there needs to be a fair bit of instructing. However, most of us get stuck in the black hole of instructing a lot, which prevents our students from hearing their own instruction. It stops them from trusting their bodies or even knowing that they need to. It limits their ability to ask of themselves, does this feel better in my body or does this feel better? They become totally attuned to listening to our instructions, going down the checklist of details we've given them, and are primarily concerned with getting it right. So let me be clear. Stage 3 is critical, but if we keep our students at stage 3, they will inevitably get bored, feel like the work isn't doing as much, and at the end of the day, if they are hit with any bump in the road, they get sick, they go on vacation, or they get tempted by a lower price, it is very, very likely that they will not come back. Providing an opportunity for our students to listen to their own body, to self-correct, and to explore the work as their own, you have to get quiet and get out of the way. So second, say more of what matters. Be consistent in your language and how you prioritize what's important in a student's movement practice. The more repetition within a creative and dynamic framework you can provide, the more likely each element is to become deeply rooted in the body and in their brain. Stop telling your students what to do and ask them to make decisions based on how they feel in their body. This approach is most effective after you've gotten your students solidly to stage 2. In fact, it's what can help them make a smooth transition from 3 to 4 and begin to take ownership of their practice and develop awareness of themselves. Essentially, they need to be able to do the basic movements, but we're not talking about perfection. They need to know just enough to be able to divert attention to the feeling of the movement and to start to ask questions like, does this work for me? A major part of saying what matters means that you ask, not tell. You have to, 1, provide an opportunity for inner exploration, and 2, draw it out of them. Here are a few examples of what I mean. Instead of saying, for the 1,000,000th time, draw your shoulders down, ask, what could you do differently in the next 5 repetitions to experience greater ease in your fill in the blank, shoulders, neck, upper back, etc. Instead of saying, relax your neck, shoulders, upper back, hips, you name it, ask, how could you make this movement feel better? How could you enjoy it more? What would that require you to do? Then nudge them a little. If they don't know, which is probably not the case, they may just feel like they don't want to get it wrong, then ask them to bring attention to that area of the body and notice if it's tense or notice what's going on there. They almost always do what you would otherwise cue them to do if you just give them the opportunity. Using this kind of teaching strategy does something pretty spectacular. It gets your students to trust themselves. And that is not only hugely motivating, it's downright liberating, and it makes learning completely fun. Progress your students consistently to stage 4 of the CCLM, and you create students who know they are making real progress, and they become even more loyal to you because you got them there. No more fickle, turn-on-a-dime kind of students, just more liberated, self-sufficient, excited, and motivated students. And there you have it. Myth number 2, properly busted and debunked. But we're not done yet. Look for another email in your inbox soon. You won't want to miss the next one. It's a doozy, and we've jam-packed it with great information that you'll be able to take into your teaching right away. Thanks again for digging in with us. We hope that you get a lot out of the tools that we're sharing. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us by adding your comments to the section below. Or if you'd like to private message us or email us, you can do that. All of our information is below.